Tonight's episode of the 31st Lap Podcast is brought to you by DirtTrackDigest.com. If it's on dirt, it's on Dirt Track Digest.
This is the 31st Lap Podcast, recorded live in the studios of FingerLakes1.com in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now, your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon. I think you look fine, John. You look just fine over there.
Hey, how come none of the other TVs are working?
Like that?
Yeah. There, we get to see something. I don't want to look at myself.
Well, oh.
Yeah, we don't want to look at you either.
Mike Malice here.
Works both ways there, Bomas.
John Bomas. Also here, episode number 136. We'll be catching up with Rocky Warner here in just about 15 minutes or so. Talk to him about his win over at the Yates County Speedway during Dutch Hoag National Open weekend, starting last and rallying to win the Sportsman program. And then after that, we'll be talking with Ryan Smith, who's back on the 31st lap for the second time in about 10 weeks or so after he won
New
Egypt.
So we got Ryan back, huh?
Yeah, we have he won at New Egypt, and they turned around and he won against the World of Outlaws, drove a masterful race, getting by Donnie Schatz and holding him at bay to win in the World of Outlaws return to Port Royal, which that was the first time they'd been there in 10 years or something like that. So that was a good deal for Ryan, and I talked to his car owner today. He was real excited about coming on the show and had a lot of compliments for the 31st lap, actually. So that
he must not listen.
Yeah. I thought it was he spoke very highly of the show and spoke very highly of the interview that we
did. He didn't compliment because Mike and I have spent a lot of time away. Is that why he was complimenting?
Yeah, because we were not here.
He goes, "You guys always do such an awesome job. Is the show available live?"
Yeah.
Yes, it's available live.
Sure is.
Yep. So I thought that was cool. I don't know. I'm sorry you guys aren't as excited about getting compliments.
Well, we're just trying to figure out why.
Yeah, because there's always a reason.
Yes.
No.
Maybe because,
and when you spend a lot of time away from the show and all of a sudden it's getting compliments, it makes you wonder.
What are you doing here anyway? Why?
I don't know. I had nothing going on. What can I say? I won't be here next week, though.
Mike was already telling me that
I'm out. I'll be in Charlotte. I'll be on the point. Actually, I might be landing right about now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are around there. I won't be here. I will be in Charlotte, too. I will be leaving Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning.
So I'll be here solo next week, and then the 13th we're going to be off.
We are?
Yes.
Sounds good.
There you go. There, Mrs. Bomas. She was worried because that's our
anniversary.
That's our wedding anniversary.
I'm going to be in Topeka.
What you're saying is he can't be here on your wedding anniversary?
I never said he couldn't. No, she was figuring that I was going to be here and that we wouldn't be able to go do something.
Oh, okay.
So, well, there you go.
What's she want to do stuff with you for anyway?
I have no idea. God only knows.
It's a question that even Mrs. Bomas is searching for the answer for.
Yeah, and she can't find it on Google.
It's not good. It's not good, man. You don't want that. Anything going on in the chat room?
Zuppy's talking about rolling wheels, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we got...
I don't want to waste... We only got 13 minutes. I don't want to bull that topic first. Well, you save that one for...
Who are we calling first?
Rocky.
We got Rocky Warner up first. Yeah, 7:30, and then we got Ryan after that at 7:45. But you...
Then we'll go rolling wheels.
You talk a little bit about 5 Mile Point.
Well, we can... You know what? We can talk about that.
Well,
5 Mile Point is bagged it for this weekend.
Yeah.
And...
Forecast is not all that great.
Cold and snow.
Put it off to next week.
So, they're going to run the weekend next weekend.
Yep.
Just like, you know, the first week of November against that. And the ROC championship will, for a second year in a row, be decided in the spring.
Yeah, April.
April. Now, I'll take it.
This is exactly what happened a year ago.
Yeah, it happened last year. I hate that.
What?
I hate that that they're carrying it over. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I think you race all year for the money, you know. Because, I mean, there's just so
many... I want him to race for it, but I don't want him to race for it next year.
Right, I want him to race for it this year. I agree. Yeah. I want to see him race for
things
it. I agree.
Things change over the winter. You don't know what guys are going to show up with, what their situation is.
Right, yeah, what happens to guys in the rides.
Look at the momentum, guys. I mean, that's gone.
Yeah. I mean, it just totally changes the whole complexion of it. And
the whole dramatics of, you know, of the championship being wrapped up in one race, and it's when it's close, it just, I don't know, it kind of kills that whole, not even, I know what Chris is saying with their momentum as far as maybe drivers, what they might be on at that moment, but also the momentum right now, of the championship. Yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But also it kills the momentum of the championship fight. All that you get all hyped up for.
Gone.
And
the tension.
Yeah,
the tension.
Yeah, it's all gone.
You got 6 months now to worry about it. You know, and again, what happens if Matt Sheppard and Norm Hansel part ways?
Yeah.
I mean, he ran Norm's car for the entire deal, so now what's he going to run somebody else? Like, it just,
right.
There's so many other variables that happen in the wintertime that I just think you got to.
Yeah, because you don't know what guys' situations are going to be.
Right,
like.
You got to run it now, or you got to find out, you got to at least make the effort.
Yes. If you can't get it in, you can't get it in, but at least try to get it in
this year. I agree, 100%. That's I know I'm being crazy with that, but I just think you need.
November's not that jam-packed with racing.
It's not terrible. I mean, there's some
snow. No, but it's also not that jam-packed with good weather either.
Well, I get that.
Okay, then why are you running your...
Give it an effort.
If we're arguing that, then why are you running your championship race in November?
Yeah. I agree completely.
In New York. I mean,
I agree completely. Why are we starting...
we start the racing season in February.
But not necessarily up here does it start in February. But it's not uncommon to see guys in the Pennsylvania tracks trying to run races in March, right? They don't start in February.
Well, no, Lincoln Speedway, their first weekend is the last weekend in February. Yeah. Every year. Some years it's really good.
And
some years
it gets snowed out.
But. Yeah, but, well, 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10. But when they do get it in, it's usually effing
cold. It's a huge race.
And it is packed.
Yes.
Packed.
Right. Yep.
You can put another ass in the stands there. I mean, it's packed.
Nah. But the thing is this isn't the last race in the Northeast. There's other tracks racing in New York.
The Gobbler.
Yeah. Way beyond this.
I mean, you look at the weekends coming up.
This
like
next
weekend.
Weeks.
I mean, next weekend is Charlotte. So obviously, technically you should just say screw it, this is it, but I understand not screwing the guys that are doing
I think they should race for it.
Okay, right. And then the following weekend you've got Bridgeport on Friday, Saturday. I don't know what Bridgeport's rain date is. Maybe it's Sunday.
I'm assuming their built-in rain date was Sunday. That's why they did Friday and Saturday.
Then the following weekend is the 22nd, which I don't think there's anything.
There's the dirt car banquet, but
on Saturday night, and then Sunday.
It's not like the first time they've run a race on the dirt car.
Right, and what about running it on Sunday? Of that weekend. If you don't want to run against the banquet, run it on Sunday afternoon.
Or Friday night.
Yeah, or whatever.
Should we take the show on the road and go to the banquet?
No, because I'm going to be at a Crunch game. Just saying. It's the indoor game in the dome. Got tickets. It's going to be awesome.
I was looking at Crunch tickets today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a good time.
I love going to the Amherst games.
I'm going to go to that tomorrow night.
I guess I'm
going to
Amherst.
In Syracuse, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm talking about going to the Blue Cross Arena.
That arena sucks.
Another 5 miles.
Well, I'm sorry that we don't have the palatial confines that the Crunch play in.
The hole that we play in. But it's loud.
Another 5 mile postponed Saturday. I guess I'm going to the SU football game on Saturday.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who are they playing?
Burkhart texted me this morning and wanted to know if I wanted a ticket.
Who are they playing?
NC State, I think.
I've never been to a football game, but
no. I've been once before.
To my knowledge, I've only been in the dome once, and it was for Monster Jam. We got to see them warm up, and then we had to leave because completely melted down.
Yep.
Oh yeah,
I remember that because that was a couple years ago.
Yep.
Yep. He didn't like the noise.
Yeah, you got spooked. Noise wasn't the big deal. It was the fireworks that set him off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fireworks.
Yeah, he's not a big fan of the fireworks. not so much.
Fireworks are awesome.
Apparently not when you're. I might have rolled the dice a little bit too early on that anyway.
You went young? You want to see what's going to happen?
Got to start him young.
What? What?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, I might have pushed it a little bit too early. He was, I think he was 3 years when we went there.
So, I don't know.
Brian Tompkins posted pictures of his kid. One of his boys was shooting bow and arrow in the backyard, dialing for deer season, raising a young hunter.
Well, that's the time of the year it is now, right?
Yep.
Hunting season.
You're a real big hunter, are you, Mike?
Never. Nope.
It's cold. It's early. I don't want to go.
Who does that?
I don't. How many legs do they have that you're hunting?
Yeah. I want to go sit in a tree stand and freeze my ass off. There's nothing. That doesn't sound fun. Yeah. You know what? Everyone's like, I'll go to, I'm going to go to the.
I know. I'm going to get up at the crack
of
dawn.
If it doesn't involve car racing at this point in the year, I'm not going to sit outside and freeze my ass off to do it.
I'm going to go sit in a tree stand in
and
the
even
cold.
That is negotiable at this point.
Covered in dough urine.
Oh, please. If there was a hockey game in the middle of January and it was zero out, you'd be there.
Yeah, I would go, but again, it's got to be. There has to be a very good reason, because even going to the
John,
race,
if he went, he'd be there and he would complain about it the whole time, which he never does at races.
No, I didn't complain the last time. It was all races. You got no idea, but no, you know, it was. It's one thing to go to an event like a hockey game, but at this point in the year, when you got 112 or 115 races in, it's like I don't need to freeze.
No, thanks.
I don't need to freeze my balls
off.
Not
interested.
It is too late in the year. I got enough races in. I can take a break. I just need to get my November race in, and I'm good. And I'm going to Charlotte, so I'm going to get 1 or 2 days in. Not going to.
It's going to be 3 days.
Don't do that. Oh no.
No, I'm just saying. Because I need one race in November, and that keeps my continual month streak going, which is like up to 28 months or whatever.
Did you see Alan Johnson's streak is like 20-some years
now? Was it 30 years, I thought. I thought it was 30 years.
Yeah, of winning or at least one race, right?
Right, yeah. Whose car was he driving?
I didn't know what car he drove.
I didn't see. It was a white car.
He had the 55, didn't he?
Was it the 55? Was it?
I think so.
I didn't look. I saw a J on it, but I didn't see.
I think it was the 55.
I didn't see what it was.
What year did that streak start? Does anybody know?
Well, if it's 30 years ago, dumbass, do the math.
I don't know. Is it 30 years, or you were saying it with a question mark?
I think it's 30 years.
He said 20-something, and you said 30, so.
I believe it was.
I know it was some sort of streak.
Yeah, it was
one,
been a long time.
One win and however
Yeah, every year. Yeah, yeah. It was the Ricky Rudd streak, yeah. As it were, you know?
Yes.
Well, I'm looking for pictures here.
One win every
year.
It
doesn't look like a 55 behind him. Maybe it is. Unicast Crusher Parts is
the sponsor. I thought I saw the 55. Maybe I didn't.
Maybe might it be. It's got a J on it, though. So, but I can't see the number behind him because he's, well, standing in front of it. So that defeats the purpose. And that's the only photo of it in the gallery. Yep, so I don't know. Got a lot of pictures from Eastern States. Holy bejeezum.
What, the mud?
Ugh, that was a mucky mess on Saturday. But what year is Eastern States not a muddy mess in the infield? Mm. It's a muddy mess every year.
Just glad it's over.
My memory failed me completely. It was
you hate
40th.
Eastern States? I still
it was his 40th consecutive
40
year.
40 years, holy
yeah, 40th,
crap.
40th year. So
yeah, you guys were real close.
Okay,
yeah,
so do the math on that. It's only 10 more years, so just because I was off 10 years. Big freaking deal.
Yep. So what, it start in 74?
I don't know. Get your calculator
75, 74, 75, whatever
it is. In there. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Where did I get 20 from? That was way off.
40.
In my head, I was thinking 27, 28.
Well, it's not to say that he couldn't have had a year somewhere along the way where he didn't win. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Where it was broken up, and then it started over.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's insane. 40 years.
It's a long time.
I'm not even 40 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. He's literally been winning races
longer than we've been alive.
Yeah.
How about you, John?
Not me.
No, John. John must have been what? You must have been 7 or 9 when he started winning races.
So close to saying an F word right now.
11, 12.
Oh, man.
Very close.
So that was it. We'll get to Eastern States too after we get to Rocky, and then we'll go from there.
So I guess Brett Hearn does okay over there.
Jeez. I mean, dominated.
Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy your?
I have my positives and my negatives, which I will go through later on in the program.
I know you promised.
We'll tease that. We'll
the
tease
positive,
that.
The positive is that it's over.
Shut up. Quit being a hater. Always a hater on the freaking Eastern States. Whatever. I got my positives.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Yellow flag's out. Slow down.
Those are negatives. Yes, I agree. Too many of those. Too many of those. So, but other than that.
Chris is getting Rocky on the line right at the moment.
So we'll be able to chat with him.
What's he doing?
Okay, so he's
nice.
Oh, so he's gonna freeze just for us.
Tell him to put a jacket on.
It is cold out. Well, all right, looks like we got you locked in there, Rocky. And hey, man, thanks for coming on the 31st lap. We appreciate it. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Ah, no complaints. No complaints. I mean, other than this weekend getting washed out, which kind of stinks. But how does that affect you? Obviously, with the Grit Sportsman race now being moved back a week.
it does as far as planning. You know, this is kind of a jammed up weekend for me anyways. You know, most people know I do a used tire business for a living, and I had to go to Connecticut to buy tires Saturday morning, so it kind of takes that stress off a little bit. But it kind of, you know, when you got a race planned, it's kind of when you kind of get your mindset on it and you get the car ready, you kind of feel in the mood to do it. You want to do it then, not wait, obviously, you know. But other than that, really nothing. We had a Glen Ridge banquet next week, which is next Saturday. Obviously, race on Saturday, but Mr. Harpel is going to work with us a little bit and run us a little earlier.
That's good. You know, coming into this event, obviously, you're the Grit Sportsman Series point leader, and that came with some work this past weekend at Yates County. Take us through going all the way to the back and then racing your way up through and ultimately getting the victory and then having them tech the car and take the motor afterwards and do what they had to do there too.
Well, the biggest thing was is that, you know, obviously getting tangled up early kind of set us back a little bit, but, you know, last year I went there with it was a 200 lapper, and I ran it on a soft tire, and we went the first 100 laps, we led the first 100. We came in, it wasn't grained, it wasn't really hot. I said, let's go back out with it. We went out for 30 laps in the second 100, and it was gone. So we this year we kind of said, you know, we can't take a chance on tires. We kind of went with a harder tire. We went with Utica Rome tires, and I was worried about them firing off early, and they actually fired pretty early. And then we had that long green stretch where after we got in the wreck, we started last. We went 54 laps, and it was under green flag conditions. So, you know, being on the green that long, having a harder tire, I think helped us pick up a lot of positions. And I could kind of, at the end of that green run, I could look up front. I could see the 70 car, which I knew he was good. I could see Connor. I could see, you know, the blue light of the 29G of Gray. I could see them guys knew they started all in the top three positions. So I knew we were doing decent. And then the L come out, and they didn't take the lap cars out. So I didn't know where I was. I lined up about 10th or 12th or whatever. But I think we were like 6th or 7th at that point. We drove under 50 green flag laps that far forward and could see the leaders, you know. So I knew we had a good car. At that point, yellows breed yellows, so I was kind of worried about more yellows coming out. Fortunately, we didn't have a ton of them. There was a few, but there was 6, 7, 8, 10 laps apart where I could get heat back in the tires and just keep making passes. And then when I got to the front, I got up to second at one point, but I was lined up third because Nick Guerrero was a lap car, but he was trying to get back on the lead lap, so he left him up there in front. Lined up third, and I think Casey Pad with an 18 car got back around me on the outside. I said, oh, man, the outside groove's coming in. So I ended up, he got by me, a yellow come out, put me fourth in running order, which I was actually third at the time, and put me on the outside. So I ended up making the outside work and swung around for the pass for the win, and it just kind of, you know, I think, you know, you have some times when everything's going your way, and there's times when everything's going against you, and it seemed like everything's going for us this week.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, because you know how the racing gods are. One week they can go for you, and then the next week they can take it all away from you.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? That's the thing, too. You know, I feel this whole season has been like that. You know, I've been dealing with a lot of things off the track with family issues, health issues. And I think, you know, sometimes everything happens for a reason, and there's some things you just can't change. And I think they're just kind of making the best out of our time. And, you know, and like I said, I think everything happens for a reason. And it's just almost like everything was going for us that Friday, you know, in that race. You know, 100 lappers I usually don't do well at because I'm not very patient, and I just kind of, like I said, everything kind of fell into place, and like I said, everything happens for a reason, you know what I mean? Maybe we got taken out for a reason, you know, but like I said, it's just kind of one of those deals where I'm super happy. It was obviously an awesome victory. And then, you know, I obviously take the motor afterwards, which I don't mind. I'm one of those guys that pushes for it. I've asked Matty D to do it. I've asked Glenridge to do it. Mm-hmm. I told the Grit series, that they should have done it. They should have took the top three in points or top five in points at a random time. You know what I mean? Be considerate of what's going on with racing. Obviously, taking this late in the year kind of doesn't really make much a lot of sense. But on the other hand, there's no racing going on during the week, so you have a whole week to get the motor done. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy they took it. They got it back right away, which you couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, they had it done Saturday, you know what I mean? So they're very professional about it. We're very good about it, and I just think all around together, doing this kind of thing, maybe go a little deeper than Dino, but doing this kind of stuff was what breeds good racing and going to make the series grow.
How does that process work when they take the engine? Do they actually force you to take the motor out of the car and take the engine with them, or how does that work? I've never been around when that's actually happened, so I've always wanted to ask somebody.
What happened was, like, I had mine taken at Brewerton a couple years ago, or last year, or 2 years ago, whatever it was. They took it, they put it in the tech inspector's son's trailer, they took it to the place, and they dyno it at gypsum. This one here was a deal with Grit where they took their stuff out of their trailer for their merchandise trailer, and we put the motor in there, and then I put my locks on the motor on the trailer. That way there was no question of, you know, because they were taking the motor home with them.
Mm-hmm.
No question of ever anything happening or anything like that. It was just, to me, it was about all on the best way to go about it. Put my locks on it, and then when I got there on Saturday to Henry's, I unlocked the trailer, then they dynoed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they take it out with the track, and then take it with them, which obviously is the best way, you know what I mean?
Right, so then nobody can tamper with it, period.
Right.
Right, exactly. I mean, if I took it home that night, and if I had an illegal motor, I could do whatever I want to do with it.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So,
oh, exactly.
Obviously, they had to do something that night as far as either taking the car or the motor. And, you know, at first, we were kind of, they didn't really have everything in order, but it kind of just, everything fell, like I said, everything else fell into place where they still didn't have a merchandise trailer put in there, and they took it with them.
So, Grit Sportsman action here now. We're shifting to the next week. We kind of talked about it. You're the point leader. For you and in your career, what would it mean to add that title to this year? I mean, you've already had an impressive year. I mean, we can even talk about that, too. I mean, two track championships. You got the Fonda Speedway track title. You've got the, you know, the track championship at Glen Ridge. I mean, I think you, I mean, double-digit wins, et cetera. I mean, what would it mean to wrap it all up with a Grit title?
I think, you know, I'll tell you, honestly, it's kind of awesome. I'm a little disappointed more guys didn't follow the series and, like, more guys run a little bit more faithful to it. You know, you got David Marcicelli, but at the end there, when they started having rainouts during, you know, July, they started stacking these races up, and it was a point where he couldn't take the time off work. You know, you got Nick Guerrieri, where he kind of came in late, so he didn't do the beginning races, so he kind of felt he was out of the points. It means a lot, obviously, to have a series like that, to go out and then travel half across the countryside, but that was part of the problem, but travel half across the countryside and be able to win that title, to me, is just awesome. You know, I mean, we went to tracks we've never been to before, snagged up wins, tracks we've been to minimum amount of times, ran up the top three. You know, obviously that means a lot to us. And like I said, the winner championship the first year, was, you know, the second year of the series, but first year really traveling out and making a double-digit races, it was, you know, it means a lot.
Talk a little bit about, you know, back in old school racing, you saw a lot of guys do this where your Saturday night track rains out and you go racing and you find some place that it's not raining. I know you're one guy that is willing to do that. You know, like if Fonda rains out and Fulton's racing, we've seen you make the track up and run at Fulton. What is it about your program or why do you guys still do that? Why do you have that old school mentality? Is that why you do it?
I honestly, I'm a race fan, and I'm obviously a race car driver. I'm a huge race fan, though. I look at a lot of times when I go to those races, I'm going to watch. Like, if I go to an ROC show with a sportsman, you know, race a sportsman, I want to go watch that race anyway, so I go with it to just do it, you know. The rainout deal, it really frustrates me. A lot of guys don't do it more. You know, it's hard to go to the Valley, because the Valley, to me, is not a lot of fun. It's not very, you're not going to come from deep in the field and win a race, especially in a crate car, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Fulton is a blast, one of my favorite tracks to race at, so that obviously helps in the decision. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I ask myself the same thing. Back in the day, you'd have 5, 6, 7, 8 guys doing it. You know, you couldn't wait to chomp at the bit when it rained out. I have a good group base of people where they don't always want, like, you know, some other race car, like Luke Horning and some other guys, they don't want to go race necessarily, but they want to go to the races as well, just because it rained out, they want to go somewhere. So they might say, hey, I'll tow you up in my truck and pay for gas or something. You know, I usually get a lot of outside help with, like, gas in the truck or a truck towing me to offset the cost. So it makes it a little easier to go do them things. And it's just a lot of fun, you know what I mean? It's kind of something different. Honestly, I'm kind of bored of racing at Fonda every week. It's kind of, I've been doing it for so long, it's not a lot of fun to me anymore. So traveling out and going out to, like, Fulton or somewhere else to race just makes it a lot of more fun for me, you know?
Well, I got a question for you talking about that. What for you was more fun to drive? I mean, we've seen some impressive drives when you drove pro stocks on a regular basis, and now that you're up into the sportsman ranks full time here, what one for you has been more fun to drive? And is the sportsman as much fun as the pro stock, or vice versa, or which is it?
I've obviously had a lot more moments in the sportsman. You know, when I raced pro stock, I ran Fonda, Glen Ridge, Utica Rome, and I won championships at all those tracks with the pro stock, but I didn't get to go out and travel. You know, being that there's not pro stocks, it kind of ties in with the not having fun at one track.
Mm-hmm.
Pro stock classes are a dying breed at most of the tracks you travel to. So as of right now, I'm having more fun with the sportsman, but my heart really lies with you. If you ever watch a full fender race at a track, I'm usually up on the wall at Fonda watching the pro stocks and the street stocks, or if there's any full fender divisions anywhere, I'm usually watching those classes because, like I said, that's where my heart lies with them. I would love to be racing them full-time still.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of, they just kind of frown upon it when we've done what we've done in sports for them. So if I had my choice, I'd still have a pro stock and race them both. But I do have more fun in the sports because I get to go to different tracks, which I'm not allowed to because of the fact that they don't have the pro stocks at all the tracks, you know. So I would say sportsman via the purposes I can travel, and there's a lot of big races for us.
Talk a little bit about...
I'm trying to think of anybody else that has gone from the... made that transition from pro stock to sportsman and shown as much success as Rocky has. Because that's not a transition that we've seen.
Usually it's not an easy one to make.
Yeah, right. it's not one that lends itself well to success. I think Jip Ortiz.
Joey Latasor in recent years, I would think of that.
Yeah,
has had some success with it.
And he's been in a lot of stuff. Didn't he have a sprint car at one point too? Didn't he?
No, that's his Joey? Brother Lee.
Oh, yeah. Lee. Okay.
Yeah. Rocky, question coming in here on the chat line. If you can believe this one's from Doug Zupan. If Unicarome goes 602 next year, which there's rumors out there, speculation, but nobody knows because, I mean, the rumor is that it's been sold, so until we have proof of that or evidence, we don't know. But if they go 602, would you consider going there to run for the big money and the NASCAR money?
Yeah, that right now is obviously, we heard the kind of the same rumors. I just went and bought tires from Tom Cullen. I said, you know, I heard they might go crate, but they're waiting until the... they're waiting for the banquet to tell everybody. And then I heard that it might be sold, but they're waiting for the banquet to tell everybody. I guess it's a heck of a way to sell banquet tickets, and it's a nice banquet to go to anyway. Yeah, I think, as I believe it right now, as I've been told, if Gene stays there and stays NASCAR, I think he's going to work with Glenridge, and they're going to be both be NASCAR from what I've been rumored. So there'll be a Friday, and my Sundays will open up. And obviously, we'd like to make the trek up there. You know, as long as it pays... is decent, and we can afford to go up there every Sunday, we'll definitely be there.
Yeah, it's a place you've run well there, too, in the past.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was two races there this year that we contended, and we won both of them. So, yeah, I tell you, it's been a place I loved it. I didn't do so well at the pure stock. I think I was just underclassed with, you know, having the street stock rules against their rules. Just underclassed. And we went there with the pro stock, and the first time out, we won with it. We won a championship up there, you know what I mean? We won races up there, and then this year we won two. Both our grit races that we're at, Unicarome, we won. So it's been, we've had a lot of success there. I really like the place. It's one of the places you can go 3-4 wide and never touch a fender. You know, you can put a body on at the beginning of the season. If you race only at Unicarome, you can go way into the season and have just rock things, and that'd be about it.
You ran a modified a little bit last year. And then this year, you kind of, I mean, I'm not going to say you ran a full-time whatever. You ran a handful of races at Glenridge. And this year, you kind of stepped back, went back to just predominantly sportsman. What was the decision-making process that went through that as to electing to stay with the 602 rather than maybe make that next step?
Well, it ties along with the whole conversation we've been having. I like to go out and travel. Racing Glenridge only, I could probably race a Glenridge modified and be very competitive with just one track and one car and do that. And the car owner and I have discussed it. It's just we have probably a pretty good, decent budget for sports and racing. But nowhere is near enough what we need for modifieds. You know what I mean? I went out, like I said, on my last motor dyno, I went to the gypsum in the shop, and the guy goes, you should be racing modifieds. I said, I'd love to. I really would. I would love to fix modifieds. Who doesn't want to race modifieds? You know what I mean? The problem is that you're racing, as I'm walking out of their shop, they got their own shock dyno in house. They all three are stackers, you know, not Pat's, but obviously Larry, Billy, and whatever one they had in there. Three haulers in the garage. They have 15 cars in there, motors lined up the yin yang. And here I am trying to buy a used motor from a engine shop for $10,000 to try to compete with these guys. Not to mention buying their used tires. You know what I mean? So, for me, I want to do it. I really love the race modified. I just don't want to do it and look like a fool out there. I went to Fonda with my modified from Glenridge that went at the big block, and I was, in the back of the pack, had no power to even come close to running with those guys. So, I want to do it, but I don't want to do it half-assed. You know what I mean? That's my biggest thing, is if I can get a good ride or some good sponsorship money. Somebody had a checkbook that was pretty deep. I would love to try it again, you know what I mean? But right now I just don't have it's not efficient enough for us to do it.
That makes sense. I mean, that's tough for anybody to make that jump. I mean, it is obviously far more of a expense, as you mentioned, than per se. And yeah, you mentioned the gypsum shop. I've heard about the gypsum shop. When you walk in and out of there, that they're not lacking for anything in that shop.
We've all seen the photos of like 42 cars in, in the picture.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. Like I talked to when I talked to the guy, he was a little upset about it, but I'm like, whatever. So when he's like, you should race the modifieds, I'm looking around, I'm like, how do you expect, I could park my truck and trailer inside your stacker with my car in it and still not have half the stuff you guys have. Like I said, it's not all about what you have, it's about, you know, talent as well, but the money does not hurt, you know what I mean? And it does hurt when you don't have it, but it doesn't hurt to have it, you know what I mean? So it's kind of, it's one of those deals that I'd love to do it, but like I said, I'm just kind of, I'm at a point where, you know, I'm having fun doing what I'm doing. There's enough sports and races out traveling around. We're having a good time. You know, like I said, I don't want to become dominant and everybody hate me, but I also don't want to go out and make myself like a fool and run around 14th, 15th either, you know.
Well, that makes sense. One more question for you here, and then we'll let you go. Again, I told you about 15 minutes. I'm sure you got stuff to get ready for, things to do.
When you're done, I got
one. Oh, you got one? Okay. Bama's got one, too. Now, you've won a lot of places, won a lot of things, a lot of championships, a lot of feature wins. You've won on the mile, all these places. What in your career is your favorite win or your most memorable win?
Favorite win, honestly, I like to say my first Syracuse win, but I don't think it's really that. I think the Sportsman Syracuse one sticks out the most. You know what I mean? Coming from deep in the pack and then making a last lap pass on the outside at Syracuse, you know, obviously that's something that I think a lot of people as well as myself will remember forever. You know what I mean? It's kind of, you'll never forget something like that, you know? So I'd have to say that's my most memorable win. I mean, there's a lot of them that stand out, but to be able to do that in a Sportsman, it just kind of, you know, obviously it's going to be with me forever, and it's just kind of one of those deals where I think it's going to be with a lot of people forever.
All right, now that we got the racing stuff out of the way, let's get to the real important stuff. When when are we setting up a Polish Horseshoes tournament this winter?
When you come down this way, but I just want to make it clear that everybody knows that listening to the show that you and your camping partner there both lost playing against me. So if you guys practice for a little while, and then when you guys get good, give me a call.
Yeah. I hear you.
That's funny.
We only played one game. This is the only game I lost all day, too.
You stink. That's awesome. Well, hey, Rocky, like we like to do with everybody that comes on, we want to give you a chance to thank any sponsors, plug anyone you need to plug any websites or anything you got going out there. And again, we appreciate you coming on and taking the time out of your day to be here.
Thank you very much. So we got our own Facebook page, Rocky the Planet School Racing. Obviously, you guys want to check us out. I try to update as much as possible. We're kind of behind. I did an update today. But, you know, I got to think, obviously, this whole deal, the grit thing going on with the cancellation. Mr. Hartel is working with us, going to make us run early, you know, to get that quick out of the way. He's going to help us out run early next week at the Grit Race. So I'd like to thank him for that. And then all my sponsors, obviously my car owner, West End, just been huge. Obviously, you know, most of the reason why we're here today doing what we're doing, because, you know, he's been backing most of those. So him, Wendy's, Dunham Spring Shop, RCT Roofing, JH Property Services, True Value, Gloversville, Johnstown, Gloversville, Napa. There's an endless count. I don't have a list in front of me here, but it's just a big group effort. My whole crew has been outstanding. We put endless hours in the shop, late nights, you know, racing one night, then the next night. The wife, my dad, you know, being able to enjoy what we're enjoying with him, knowing he's very sick. So it's just kind of huge, you know. Everybody, big group effort, they all chip in, and wasn't for the you know, your core, your support group, you know, wouldn't be possible. So I'd like to thank them all, and thank you guys for having us.
Oh, man. Yeah, without his shadow, he's got nothing. His shadow, Joe.
What's that?
Your shadow, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe's a man. Obviously, he you know, he's not the best looking or smartest one, but I tell you what, he's the most hardest working guy you'll ever meet. And he puts in three times the hours of anybody. Even me and him go there together, but I always give him a ride. But the problem is sometimes I leave him there and go do other things, and he stays there. Like, yeah. He's there right now. So without Joe, it would be a lot less of an operation.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, thanks for coming on. We appreciate your time, and good luck here in the, I'll say 2 weeks now, not this weekend, the following weekend, and on your Grit championship there and your chase for that. And have a good night. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye. See you, pal.
And so that was Rocky Warner, current Grit Series point leader. I don't know if he can be caught or not, but I'm not familiar with their point way they do their points. So
yeah, and I'm not sure if those points reflect the two drops or not.
Yeah, I don't know either. So I don't.
I know they drop like two finishes, right?
Yeah, it's something weird. Yeah, so you had to run 12 out of or something.
Maybe it's more than two finishes. I don't know
how many it is. 12
you didn't
out
have
of
to run all the races.
Is it 12 out of 17 or
something like that?
Something like
you didn't
that.
Have,
yeah.
I know you didn't have to run them all.
Yeah, I'm just not sure what it is.
Do you want me to get Ryan?
Yeah, go ahead. We're right on schedule here. So again, that was Rocky Warner. Pretty impressive season. A couple of championships at Glen Ridge, and of course, the track of champions, the Fonda Speedway. So, you know, big news coming out of Fonda too, Bombs. You see the Facebook page, all the fresh clay going
fresh
down.
Fresh new clay.
That is nice to see. Nice to see. It's nice to see the, you know, someone caring about our old stomping grounds. You know, as everybody knows, that's where we came from. If that explains everything that everybody needs to know there.
Did I ever tell you the story about Rocky getting a profile in the newspaper?
Oh, boy.
I guess we'll have to wait for
that. Well, we'll have to wait for that. So, as we've got someone that's become a regular here now.
I know, right?
I almost got to call him a regular here. Winner of this past weekend's World of Outlaw event down at the Port Royal Speedway is Ryan Smith. And, Ryan, welcome back to the 31st lap. I feel like we just had you a couple weeks ago, and here you are again, and that's never a bad thing.
Yeah, glad to be on, man. I appreciate it. It's hard to believe, but we beat the Outlaws.
Has it sunk in yet, man? I mean, that's got to be just an amazing feeling and something that, I mean, you got to pinch yourself every morning, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I dreamed of just being able to race with these guys and not to beat them. It just makes that much better, you know?
Well, talk a little bit about the race. You know, I was fortunate. I've read all the stuff on the race, and it didn't come easy. It wasn't a front row victory by any stretch of the imagination. You raced Donnie Schatz, the best of the best, to get the victory. So take us through that race and take us through what it was like, the battle there with traffic, Schatz, and everything else that was going on.
Well, we started fourth there. Like you said, we had to earn it. And my goal was to run top five. You know, didn't think I had a shot to win. But, you know, we go there to win, but didn't think you're racing as the best here. You know, Donnie Schatz starting third, this race is over. You know, and I had to jump on them both times on the start and knew we had a real good car. And just got rolling there, and the top was pretty far around already. And I knew it was only going to get further around, and I was good through the middle. And I started running them guys down like 10 laps in. I was like, man, I could win this. And got the match in there, and I got him pretty quick. And then Lucas, I might have showed my hand a little early. I split him, and he got me back. But then he took the line away from me. He took the bottom middle away from me and made me work for it. But, you know, we were good enough to get a run on him off the top to the bottom and get by him. And then it was like, you know, I'm figuring, where's fun to go at here? You know, this race got to be over. And I looked over at the scoreboard one time, and it showed lap 20. And the 15 was running second. So I'm like, he's coming, you know. And I just figured I got to stay on the bottom here and make him go around me on the outside. He's better. And just never seen him. Held him off and brought her home for the posse. Pretty cool.
How neat was that? You know, I've heard some people talking about the after effects. It's got to be fun to win a race like that. You know, you mentioned winning it for the posse, and I know the infield there gets a little ruckus, just like it does at Williams Grove in the stands. Whenever posse beats the Outlaws, they make sure the Outlaws know about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's the atmosphere in Victory Lane was pretty cool. It was all the people there, they were chanting posse, and you know, that was my first time there. First of all, my second winner ever in 410, and to beat them guys at that level, it was really hard to take all that in at that time. You know, I was trying to, like, did this really happen? And it's really cool to win at that level and beat Donnie Schatz, you know.
Beating Donnie Schatz anywhere is a feat in itself, considering how he's been here at the end of the season. I mean,
Jesus, this whole season.
I mean, 20.
He's won almost 30 races. Yeah. It's crazy.
How much did winning New Egypt this summer help the confidence and give you that boost that you needed, you know, to say that, hey, that we can win in these 410 ranks? I mean, you've been successful in everything else you've come up in and run. And it took you a little longer to get that first 410 win. But how much did that win factor into the win on Saturday night?
Well, I think we were about 2 months ago, we were just talking about that, you know, getting that first win and how much that really means to us, and that monkey, get that big monkey off our back. That just made us, you know, more confident and able to attack these races a little harder. You know, you can, instead of trying to get that first one, well, we can gamble a little bit here and really try and get it to the front, you know, and we did that, you know. We struggled a little bit mid-season. We actually made a chassis change here about a month ago. Went on the Triple S chassis, and it was probably the best thing we did all year. I mean, we run secondary at the Grove for their final show, and was going pretty good at rolling wheels with it, and got a flat tire with 5 laps to go or something like that. So, you know, that played a factor in it. Well, just the confidence. Be behind the wheel of these cars. You got to be very confident and know you're going to. It's going to turn down a straightaway, you know, and it's going to have some bite. So, just having factors into it, and, it's really cool to talk with you guys about this.
What prompted the change to Triple X chassis from what you were running? I know Jeremy Elliott wrote a story on it and talked a little bit about you in that, and mentioned kind of what Stevie Smith and Fred Raymer had been able to do. How much did that factor in, and what prompted the change?
Well, we were 6th, 7th, 8th place car, and just couldn't find the speed to get any better. So, you know, if you're getting beat by, you know, Stevie's got him, Brent Mars has him, you know, and even Brian Montez on Triple X, you know, if you can't beat him, you got to get what they got. So we decided, you know, let's make a change and go for it. And glad we did, because it was, it responded to changes. I mean, it's into the racetrack, and just the support we got from them guys, Triple X and Ponchos, and just really, you know, it was a really good move, and I think we're going to stick with our next year.
What chassis did you have prior to the Triple X?
We were on GF1, and they were really good people. I just think maybe both my chassis and GF1 wore out, and just put a new chassis under it made that much difference, or this car would look better.
Well, I mean, everything in racing is cyclical. I mean, you look, I know where we are, modified racing, of course. 1 year, Bicknells are the hot setup. Next year, the TOs, and then the next year, the Troyer. Yeah. And it kind of goes that way with sprint car racing. I mean,
you see
Maxim dominate, and then you see Triple X cars come around. So, I mean, it's just part of the cycle. But at this point, it doesn't matter what it is, I think, for you. I mean, you definitely have figured things out and got things going in the right direction. Now, with the win, does that mean we're going to see you head down to Charlotte here next weekend?
Absolutely. I'm actually just pulling into the shop here now. We're going to get in here, mount a new body up, and we're going to change our paint scheme up a little bit for down there.
Nice.
Gonna really?
The Fighting Angels Foundation are coming on board for Charlotte, and it's a pretty neat deal. It's foundations for the Angelman syndrome, and it's a genetic disorder you're born with. It's a slow-growing deal. Intellectual growth is slow, and I just want to promote that. I think the racing community is the best way to promote that. And we're going to be down there with the car, white and blue, change it up a little bit, and try and go down there and repeat.
A question coming in here in the chat room from someone. They see your sponsor, the Warco Group, on the side of the race car. They want to know, what do they do? What is the business there with the Warco Group?
Warco Group, they do anything from plumbing to HVAC to... You bring Warco Group in, it's a union deal. They come in, they do anything from, you know, putting a building up to wiring it, to plumbing it, to air conditioning, full 9 yards, but it's not ready here.
Going forward here, heading into Charlotte now, you gotta be hoping that the season doesn't come to an end. I mean, you gotta want to keep racing. I mean, you got Charlotte, and then you've got, of course, the race at Susquehanna, and then that's it for 410s here in the Northeast. You gotta be just itching for next season already. I mean, I know you don't ever want to look ahead, but how excited are you for the future after the way this season wrapped up?
I am super excited. It's a shame. It's like I said, it's a shame November's here and it's over. We're just getting going, but I think, you know, that you come to a point in your racing career where everything starts to click, you break out, so to speak. And I think this year, from like July on, that's the case for me. And like I said, I hate to see it end, but I think we're going to gear up and try and do that humid deal down in Arizona, that winter heat.
Me too.
In there, go to Florida and race as much as we can.
Nice. So you are going to Arizona. Good deal.
Well, we're going to try. And I can't guarantee it, but it's a long way. You know, it's a long ride, but we'd definitely like to do that.
Hey, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there because I'm flying.
they're putting the money up for those shows. So.
Yeah, what are they? 10 grand to win, a 1,000.
12 grand to win, aren't
12
they?
12 grand and 1,000.
Oh, yeah, 12 grand and 1,000 to start. That's really good money.
Yeah, you can't beat that. Can't beat that, and that should be a good deal. So,
and it's at a time where there's really nothing.
There's nothing
going
else
on,
going
so.
On. Yeah, of course.
Right.
Another question coming in.
So you're looking forward to go beat on Donnie Schatz again?
Question coming in here in the chat room. Someone asking. I'm pretty sure you guys are not in the normal location for a 410 sprint car team. What is your travel like each week to make it to Williams Grove and or Lincoln and Portland when you're racing there?
Well, it's more, I mean, the shop's only about an hour and 10 minutes from Williams Grove. But where I live, I'm an hour and 45 from the shop. So
oof.
That's the toughest thing is I'm always on the road back and forth and running parts around here and picking this up and, you know, spend time in the shop here to work on the car and then go back home and work the next day. You know, it's just a lot of work, a lot of time on the road, and you know, the race shop's in Reading. It's actually, we're 3 miles from Maple Grove is where we're at. So we're not too far from Williams Grove, but where I live in the Poconos, it's tough for me to run around all the time.
What are your plans for winter racing, other than the sprint car? Am I gonna see at the TQ shows and so on and so forth?
Yeah, we're trying to put a deal together to run TQ. Nothing set in stone yet, but I'll definitely be there either way. Not Chili Bowl, I don't believe I'm going to have any lined up for that. But definitely going to try to line something up for Atlantic City.
Definitely. Got to run Atlantic City. That's fun.
Nothing for the Chili Bowl yet, huh? That's a bummer. I know you didn't make it out there last year either.
Yeah, can't put anything together yet. So maybe this win will help draw up some attention, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're definitely getting attention.
Yeah.
I mean, how neat is that when you look at every racing paper and every racing website and every racing, you know, anything related to racing, you go on the World of Outlaws website and you see your face on there as the most recent feature winner. That's got to be a pretty awesome feeling.
Yeah, and it's nice that there's a break since he won his race to the next one. So his face is there longer than most.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Usually the next night it changes again.
Believe it, man. It really is.
Someone also asking in the chat room, Ricky Smith, that used to race at Orange County, any relation to you in the 555 car?
Yep, he's my uncle. My uncle Richie, and then my father's Randy.
Okay.
Which he ran the 55.
Okay. The triple nickel Richie Smith is your uncle?
He's my uncle.
I didn't know that.
Balmus learned
I remember
tonight.
When he raced. I never knew that.
Why
of course you remember, because you were 12 when Alan Johnson started winning that streak.
You're such an ass.
I'm an open wheel guy, you know. I like to be big horsepower, no weight kind of deal.
Yeah, no offense, me too. Not that I don't love modifieds, but I agree with you on the open wheel on that.
Speaking
one.
The right language for around here.
Yeah, we're all open.
Gotta take the crutch off, though.
Oh, stop. Man, one more question coming in here before we let you go, Ryan, again. We got the chat room running here, so people just asking questions, want to know a little bit about where he came from. And we know you used to run, you know, slingshots and all that. You've had some success there. Is S&S Speedway, is that your family business and the family-owned operation, et cetera?
Yep, that's my mother and father. We own the S&S Speedways, and then we also promote Hamlin Speedway in Scranton.
Yep.
Which is a small car track. But yeah, that's I'm there every day.
Do you race every day?
Not every day, but every other.
I'm jealousy on that one. That would be fun.
So what you're saying is, if we ever get there, don't race against you.
Yeah, because we're not winning.
After you guys down there, like I said, and
I know when we had him on the last time, we talked about.
Yeah,
this.
I know. We
need
go.
To go down there and
we,
do a
we
show.
We gotta go. That'd be fun.
I'm all for it.
It would be fun. We'll have to try to find a date this
stuff.
Winter.
This winter we should.
That would be a fun show.
We need to make that happen.
Yes. So, well, Ryan, before we let you go, as we always do, man, we want to give you an opportunity to thank your sponsors, thank any folks. Send out the Twitter, the websites, the Facebook, whatever you got. Again, man, we just appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I mean, I got to thank these guys, Rob Warko and my mom and dad and everybody that's involved. It's a team effort. It's not just one owner. You know, I bring the motors to the table. Rob owns the cars, and you know, it's a couple of little guys come together to formed this team, and for us to do this and go beat Donny Schatz and the Outlaws, it's just really cool. It's really cool to see little guy beat the big guy.
It's definitely awesome.
Absolutely.
Definitely awesome, man. Well, hey, again, we appreciate you being on the show here.
Congratulations, as always.
And
man.
Congratulations, man. It's an awesome deal. It's an awesome story. And we appreciate your time, as always. And I look forward to seeing you next week in Charlotte.
Thanks, man. We'll see you guys down there.
Yep.
Okay, man.
Have a good night.
See you soon.
We have to make that happen.
We got to do that. That does sound fun.
We talked about it the last time we had on. We need to make that happen.
That would be fun. That would definitely be fun.
I'm all for it.
I am, too. Anytime.
All right. So
this winter would be at the bed. That'd make a good live event.
Sure. We'd do the whole thing.
That would be a fun live event. You got that right.
It would be. We could get people to go to that in the wintertime.
Yeah. Us.
Yeah. We could probably bring the 5 people that are watching right now with us.
Yeah.
Like we could literally bring them. If we could all meet in one place, we could pile in my van.
Pile in a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could bring everyone who is watching right now could go.
We could take the ESS van.
There you go.
So,
John,
who's
John,
driving,
why,
though?
Why have you not complimented me?
What?
You got a haircut?
My van is still sticker free.
You're right. It is. It is. And you, thank you for doing
you
that.
Have gotten.
Or should I say, thank you for not doing that?
Is that the car you remember, John?
I don't remember that particular car, but I remember him racing, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
And, I mean, he raced right into the 90s.
Cool. For the love from the chat room there.
He raced right into the 90s, he did.
Is that Middletown he's racing at? That's got to be Middletown.
Let's see that again.
That's Middletown.
Is that the
same
driving in the background?
Yeah, same fence has been.
Everything's the same.
Yeah, it hasn't changed.
Those same weeds in the background.
Don't rip on Middletown. That was my home.
Only place I've ever seen with Rubik's Cubes freaking parking lot lights.
You know what those are from?
Yeah, from the World's Fair. So 1962.
Quit ripping on them. Jesus. Hey, you know that guy that was the cop guy that shot the cops in PA? They got him.
Yes.
It's breaking news everywhere right now. So we'll mention that. Good to see. Hopefully justice is served for that fellow. Or it might happen there. But so what do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about Rolling Wheels? You want to talk about Eastern States? Where are we going to go?
Eastern States.
Well, I'll tell you what I don't want to talk about.
Eastern States.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. Eastern States. I was gonna write something up, but I figured it's more fun to talk about it. So, I guess we'll do my good and my bad from Eastern States. My good.
Well, that's good. Should be a short list.
Oh, shut up! Quit being an ass. We got to pick on Eastern States. I love Eastern States. Still my favorite modified race of the year. Regardless, you can hate it. I don't care. Oh, here we go. You weren't doing that on Saturday night, were you?
No.
No, you weren't.
I should have, though.
Me too. But so the good, Eastern States. The weather for 3 days, beautiful weather this year, I thought. Thursday night, I wasn't there, so I didn't have to worry about that. Friday, the mud sucked, but temperature-wise, weather-wise, I mean, it was a beautiful 3 days of racing. Awesome. Secondly, I will say that the Big Bob race was fun to watch. There was some passing up front. You had Gary Edwards, Jerry Higbee, racing for the lead at one point. Brett Hearn is just Brett Hearn at Middletown. I mean, I think he had a blindfold on and still got him. I mean, he passed Shepard on the outside on a restart, which nobody did all day anywhere else. So, impressive. I thought the track held up pretty good. It did not eat tires like it has in the past. I thought the race was good. We're going to, you know, and again, the usual, the breakfast sandwiches on Saturday night were spectacular. I got to tell you, bacon, egg, and cheese, man, on a roll. Nothing better. Nothing better. And the steak sandwich, the food, awesome. The event as a whole, still love it. Still my favorite modified event. Obviously, if we're talking negatives, first thing that comes to my mind is caution laps. We've got to figure out a way to get that race so the cautions are not so significant. Because, I mean, you end up running close to 80 to 90 caution laps, and it's a 200-lap race, not a 120-lap race. So I know you agree with me on that one. Other thing, I mean, mine, some procedural things. I don't know what the pit stop rule was because I couldn't explain it to you if I tried. Now, you were on pit road, so you know what it was, but I think it was you had a pit once if you wanted fuel, you had a pit again if you wanted a tire.
It was extremely confusing.
Okay, because I didn't understand.
I can explain it to you, but it was extremely
confusing.
Okay,
if you can explain it to me, I need that because I didn't understand it as it was going.
Okay.
So I got lost in the shuffle as to why. Some guys were coming down in, some guys weren't pitting, some guys, you know, like if you had to pit twice or this or that, and I'm not a fan. I will say this first off. I'm not a fan of anybody saying you have to pit after X lap or that. I don't believe in that. Just let them race and let them pit whenever they want.
Well, the whole reasoning behind it is to safety. Try to keep the congestion.
Right, I understand why they're doing it.
Not everybody pits at the same time.
I understand that. I get that.
The problem is I think most of them still do anyway.
Right, but still.
The first 60 laps, you could pit whenever you wanted and do anything to your car. You know, you could change tires, take fuel, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't count as your mandatory pit stop. After lap 60, the first caution and only the first caution. Not the second, not the third after lap 60. The first caution after lap 60, that was when, if you decided to make that, because after lap 60 is when you had to do your mandatory pit stop.
Right, okay. Right.
So if you chose to do it on the first caution after lap 60, if that was the one you were going to pit under, you could only do one service or the other under the first stop.
Right.
So if you decided, let's say you decided to take fuel, you couldn't take tires. Or if you decided to take tires, you couldn't take fuel.
Right.
So you had to come in under that same caution to finish your service a second time. So you had to stop essentially twice. That's what counted as your mandatory pit stop.
Okay.
Not just once. If you stopped under the first yellow after lap 60, you had to stop twice. If you stayed on the racetrack and didn't stop at all under that yellow,
mm-hmm.
and you waited till the next yellow after lap 60,
that would have been okay.
Then you could do one stop, and that counted as your mandatory stop.
So Hearn came down pit road twice.
The first caution.
So Hearn lap 60. Had a pit twice.
Yeah, everybody okay, that decided to pit that caution.
Okay, all right.
Had to pit twice.
All right.
To make their mandatory stop. If you didn't stop twice, it wasn't counted as a mandatory stop.
All right.
That which meant you had to stop again.
Right.
Later.
Okay. All right, that was my confusion.
Yep.
And my thing is, I get the safety factor of it, but I hate mandatory pit stop rules. Like, you got to pit mm-hmm. after X lap. We've seen at Syracuse, just let them pit whenever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Let it just go. And then, again, run the last 75, you know, the last 25 or green, you know. And I get the reasoning why they added the other rule. Like, I'm very anti-procedural rules. Like, I don't like it in NASCAR. I don't like it in anything. And I get why they added the rule where if you bring out an intentional yellow after lap 175, you lose a lap. So if you get a flat tire and you stay on the track and bring out a caution, you lose a lap.
Yep.
That's just how it goes. And I get why they do that, but I'm not a fan of that either. I just let things play out. If a guy mm-hmm. wants to pit on lap 40 and try to go 160 laps on the tank again, let him do it.
Right.
Let him go. But, I mean, I think there needs to be some limit, though, as to how many caution laps we count. Because we've seen it the last couple years now. Guys will stop for anything in those first 175 laps, and they bring out intentional yellows the whole race. And then every time when pit road opens, it's at least 4 to 5 laps because you got to get everybody
back in.
Because
you got to give them time to make their stops, especially the first yellow after lap 60 because they got to pit twice for those guys that pit. They got to do it twice.
Right.
So you got to give them time to do it.
Right, and I am not a fan of that.
Yep.
You know, and then you have, you know, in instances where.
Remember at Syracuse, we were there 1 year and there was a caution. Like they were averaging for one stretch, there was a caution every 9 laps.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, they've done the thing at Syracuse where you have to pit after lap 125.
Right.
Like, we don't need any more gimmicks in racing. I understand why we're doing it. Again, I'm not bashing why the rules are in place. I'm just saying I don't like the rules. You know, just let them race it out.
Unfortunately, that's the downside when you have races where there are pit stops.
Well, you have pit stops for people that don't know what they're doing. And ultimately, pit road is nuts.
It is a dangerous place.
But I think if you.
I'll tell you, that it was. My first time of ever working on a pit road, and it was a little unnerving.
Yeah, I mean, they're whizzing
by
you.
That first caution, when they are eligible to make their mandatory pit stop after lap 60, they all come flying down pit road. Like, I'm standing in the middle of pit road against the Jersey barrier that separates the pit road in the front stretch of the racetrack. I'm backed up against the Jersey barrier, and they're coming right at me down pit road. And the first couple cars kick up all this dust. Now I can't see the rest of the cars, and I know they can't see me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm like, holy Jesus. I'm like, if one comes this way, I'm jumping over the barrier because I got nowhere to go. Luckily, you know, obviously nobody really got that close to me, but they're literally within a few feet.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And
fly
down.
I did not envy.
Some of them fly down
pit road. I did not envy you doing that.
As they're flying down pit road, I'm looking the other way because I don't know if I'm going to get a rock spun up and
into
my face or something.
I wish
it was unnerving.
I wish we had a way to regulate in modifieds. I know it's probably impossible to do, But to regulate pit road speed, like I don't
know. Well, they had a pit road speed because they do it. You know,
the push truck, the pace truck.
At the beginning of the race, they take everybody down pit road.
Right, but once the pace truck's gone, 30 to 35 miles an hour.
But there's no way to judge it. No. And there were guys going way faster than 35 miles an hour. Trust me, they went. Yeah, I know.
There was a situation. Rick Laubach got pinned for
Super Dirt Week.
That's a.
I know. We're talking about that's not the same race.
But the problem is that
there was attempts.
See, at Super Dirt Week, they get the state police come in with their
radar trap.
So they have the sign right at the end of pit road.
I wish they would do.
I don't think they had that at
Orange They did not County. Have it in Orange County. No, but why can't we do like four of those on pit road and say, you know, but the problem is picking out which car is it that goes by.
And
it,
well, the, you know, even if you have the sign there.
Nobody's listening.
Who the hell's looking at that? With all that's going on, these guys are watching for cars pulling out in front of them.
Yeah, I know. You're
guys
right.
running around the race cars. Officials standing on it. You can't be looking for a speed sign.
You're right. You're true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
especially as dusty as it was.
I mean, I think
because if
the
you were behind a car, you couldn't see that guy.
I get why they start so many cars because it's a big race, but I think that race could do with a 40 or 36 car field.
Yeah,
because
well,
you think about
I
it,
think
you
that's
take
part of your caution problem.
You
is
take
all the cars on a race.
Yeah,
track.
And if you take eight cars out of that race, just eight.
Yeah,
you add that.
Yeah, that's 36 cars because there's 40. Well, they started 45 actually.
Right. So if you take eight cars out and you make those pit road that much longer, I think that. Decreases the congestion.
No question.
And makes it a bit safer, too.
You know, and I get why they let so many cars stop.
Oh, I understand that,
too. There's a lot of guys there, and I get it. But, you know, this, again, they start 44, 45 every year at Fulton for their 200.
Right.
But that place.
You're not doing pit
typically,
stops.
Typically, there's no pit stops. But typically, as far as the race goes, the place is so wide. It's so racy. There's room everywhere. Even though it sounds like a lot of cars, and there are a lot of cars.
Right.
There's still room where nobody's being held up there.
But they had the same issue this year with theirs.
This year was an unusual 200 at Fulton where there was
a lot of
yellows.
Yep.
But historically, that race doesn't go that way. Unfortunately, with Eastern States, historically, this race does go that way.
The last
there's
few years.
There's a lot of – there's so many cars out there. There's nowhere – they get behind – the leaders catch the back markers. It's hard to pass there, and there's just nowhere to go. And if you're getting threatened to be put down a lap – you know, you get into the guy in front of you because you're running out of patience because the leader's behind you, and it just causes so much havoc.
I'll tell you this. The guy that did not want to go a lap down was Danny Johnson.
Well, yeah.
He ran the balls off that car to stay on the lead. I mean, that's the only way to say it. He did not. You could tell he knew that Gary Edwards.
What happened to him in turn two? I know he got a wreck, but what happened?
He got a right rear flat and a spun.
Okay.
You know, he was running in the top five, but, you know, that's always the case. I mean,
and that was late in a race, too.
Yep. But. Again, then he doesn't get docked because he spun.
But he never come back out, though. He didn't finish.
Well, at that point, if you're not in the series points, because he's not, because he didn't have a home track.
He didn't finish the race.
At this point, from what, 10th or 14th on back pays.
Yeah, and he's right. He's not in the point.
No offense. We, you know, it is what it is. No, Zuppi's griping because he's a scorer, and he goes, you can't lose a lap under yellow on the track or in the pits is crap. Well, I don't think so because I think it's a safety thing. Middletown, you can lose
laps. Well, it's also courteous to the drivers. If they do get a flat tire, you know you're not going to lose laps, so you don't have to kill somebody to get into pits in a hurry and change it and get out of the pits in a hurry without losing lap. You don't have to worry about that.
Well, the thing is, because
either way, you're going on the tail, so just take your time, change the tire, because they're giving you the time to change it.
I kind of like that. I'm not a fan of the intentional yellows. Either.
Yes, that I don't like. But if something happens and you have to go into pits, to make some sort of repair.
And let's be
honest,
you're
not going to get penalized
for that. Most tracks are not set up for guys to get in and out of the pits quickly.
Exactly.
Like if you're at 5 mile point and you get a right rear flat, there's no possible way you're going in and back out.
And that's
without
losing
a lap.
That's our rule on all the series races. All the Super Series races are like that. If you have a problem, you bring out the yellow, you got to go to the pits. What? Let's just say it's a flat tire.
Right.
We give you time to go change it because let's think about it. Majority of these races are held at tracks where the pits aren't even in the infield.
Right.
So you got to go to God knows where to your hauler to go or a hot pit somewhere to go change the tire and get back. And if you're on a little quarter mile, you know, if it's a little bull ring like a Brockville or a Cornwall,
you're not getting back out. There's no
you're going to lose two or three laps. So I think it's a courteous thing to give your drivers the time to go change it and not be able
now,
to lose a lap.
Right. Zuppi's argument is, well, it causes intentional yells. My argument is if the guy gets a flat tire or something, he's going to stop anyways.
Yeah.
The yell's going to come out no matter what because they're still going to try.
Absolutely.
Regardless of whether they lose a lap or not.
Exactly.
You know that and I know that. I mean, even even
especially if they're in a point deal, they're not going to just pull in under green.
It's not going to happen. They're going to bring out.
If I'm the point leader, I'm not pulling in under green with a flat tire.
They're going to bring in a caution. This is the bottom line. They're going to bring out a caution.
Yep.
So I don't think that's going to. It might cut down on a couple cautions where the guy rolls to a stop or whatever.
Yep.
You know, you've seen those, but I don't think at the end of the day it's going to cut a significant amount. And I think the safety factor, the fact that like if you're at a Utica or a 5 mile or an Accord, where the pits are tight, you're congested, you're driving in various directions. And to keep it,
Utica Rome's a great example because you got two separate pit areas.
Right.
One's off to the right and one's off three and four.
So you it's
on the left.
Yeah, one and two.
Or I mean, one and two. Where you go off, where you bear off to the left.
Right. So it makes
there's two separate areas.
Right. It's difficult. It is difficult.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, that was my good and bad from Eastern States. I mean, again, the caution thing is probably my biggest gripe, and that was the same thing with the small block race on Saturday.
That was even worse.
I hate it's a 100 lap race. Let's just make it 75 and not count cautions. I'd rather see him race it out.
Well, the way the cautions are, though, you need it to go back to 150 again.
Yeah, I know.
Because then you get more green flag out of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Just go 75.
Not much more, but you'll
just go 75 laps, green flags.
Yeah, all green flags.
All green flag laps, that's it. Cautions don't count.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, it'd be
guaranteed
fine.
75 green flag laps.
Right, and that's what I want to see.
Even though they're one or two at a time,
rather see 75 green flag laps than a 100 lap race with 50 caution laps.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but the downside
as a fan, it's frustrating.
The downside is, you know as well as I do, if they did all green flag laps, let's just say they did what you just proposed. Mm-hmm. It's all every green flag session is going to be one or two laps at a time, and there's going to be another yellow. That's the downside. You never get a chunk of racing.
Well, you get
some. You get
some.
A minute.
You get some, though, but a predominant.
You do. I mean, literally, it's like 1 minute, and the yellow's back out.
The predominant thing in the beginning of that racetrack, the beginning of that race, is there's caution. There's always caution a lot at the beginning of the race because there's always so many cars out there. Even with the 358 race, they put a lot of cars out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was, 36, whatever it was. It's just too many cars.
Yeah, the 358 race didn't have as many. I think it was 36.
It was a little slight, but you're just putting so many cars out there, and everybody gets jammed up, and this and that. There's always going to be yellows at the beginning of that race. So counting, I think it was lap two, we were under yellow.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're starting it. It's like, this sucks. Yeah. I don't, you know, as a fan, I mean, I don't pay to get in.
Nobody wants to sit there and watch
But it's not fair to all the people that pay to get in.
No, it's not fair to racers either.
Right. To watch a 100 lap race and only get to see 50.
Yep.
You know, it's just not fair.
You know, it's not fair to the racers that they don't get to race the guys in front of them to go advance their positions. They advance their positions because the guy fell out.
Right.
Not because he passed them.
Right. You know, so, and then even Sunday, the same thing. They got to find a way to limit how many caution laps you count each session. Make it two laps or something. Because, I mean, there was one point where a car got wrecked, and the safety crew, it took them time to get it hooked up and everything. And then you're 11 laps under yellow.
Harpel with the RLC deal, kind of like what he does. If any yellow exceeds more than 5 laps under caution when they're counting laps, they stop counting laps.
But even that's excessive.
I'm not saying it's the exact correct rule.
We're running pit stops.
But it's something to that effect is a good idea. Because then you stop counting.
Well, I'd rather just see, all right, we run 2 laps under caution.
Yeah,
then we go
make
back
it, make it 3 laps. They give you your 2 or 3 laps to be able to do your pit stops or whatever.
Right.
So make it 3 laps. And then anything after that, we stop counting.
Yeah, because it's just too many.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, we're running quick fills and running all this so we can run a long distance race. So if a guy's got to pit a second time and get fuel, that's their problem.
Because the other issue is it's not always we're blaming everything on the racetrack or the drivers and the way everything's going with the race. Let's face it, another issue that I saw at Orange County this past weekend was the safety crew was very slow.
They were very
slow getting to various scenes of accidents or a car that just stopped and needed a push. It was a couple laps before the car was even had a push truck behind it to push it.
Right, I agree. Yep.
So, you know, all these things add up to more and more time spent
going
under
yellow.
I mean,
it was close. Close. I mean, I think we counted over 80, somewhere between 80 and 90 caution laps, depending on
which
how you count.
Which was less than the last 3 years,
but still
it's excessive.
Too many.
Yes.
It's too many.
Yeah, Chris, you're laughing, I know. The last three years, more than half the race has been
under
yellow.
I know, we've talked about that.
I mean, it is crazy.
You know, and then you look at the right rear tire on a Hearns car, and he didn't change it, and he still had tread. He could have won another 50 laps.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's...
The sad part was it was an improvement this time, but
It's still too many.
Yeah.
It's just they got to find a way to fix that.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately will always be my gripe. Like, I love Eastern State. It is my favorite race, my favorite modified race of the year, but it's just too many caution laps. I want to see the race.
Yes.
Because what happens when they get racing at Middletown, if the more laps on a green you have, the wider that rubber lane gets, mm-hmm. and the better the racing gets.
Yep.
By having all these constant cautions, it just makes everybody fight for the bottom.
Yeah. It just perpetuates that.
That bottom groove, yeah.
And
it just
nobody ever gets their tires heated up.
No, and it just
never have a chance to do any of that.
Yeah, I mean, there was passing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Jimmy Phelps went in, changed two tires late, came up from 16th, got up to 5th, you know, and there was some good stuff. But you still want to see that tire strategy a part of the race because that's always been a part of that race. You know, like last year,
reminds
I thought
me
was
one of the things that Tim Fuller said one time. He goes, basically, you know, for, on a restart, you can look like a hero on the outside for a couple, two, three laps, but then if you don't get to the bottom,
if you don't get right, if you don't get down in there on the bottom quickly, you're in trouble.
All right, so that we good on Eastern States? You had enough Eastern States talk?
Yes.
Okay, base is covered.
Move on over to the...
now what do you want to talk about? Rolling wheel?
Oh, we got to. This has been a hot topic this week.
I don't know how much we're going to be able to add to what people don't already know anyway.
Well, hey, we can put our two cents. I mean, I put honestly. My 2 cents. I put my two
Ladies
cents
and gentlemen, John Balmus, ever the optimist.
No,
I don't have anything to add.
I mean, okay, so you read their Facebook page, and they discuss.
I skimmed through
I've read
the
through almost everything on there, and their first show is Memorial Day weekend. They're doing a tournament format.
Well, that's the only show they've told us about.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's their first show. It's the only show that they've told us about.
I'm going to say,
we're still waiting for a schedule.
Let me ask you, did they run the last show at Rolling Wheels when the Outlaws were there? Or?
I thought they were.
Well, not that I'm aware of. I know they said they did.
I thought they were passing off schedule.
I'm pretty sure Hockman was running that show.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. But
anyway.
I just don't like, you're in this business for a reason. You know, most of us are. I mean, I get you're in it to make money, and there are people that will not know everything there is to know. But my question is, you know, they're talking about various things, and they're running again. How are you going to run a 3-day show on Memorial Day weekend?
4 days.
Whatever it's going to be. How are you going to run a 4-day show on Memorial Day weekend against all the local tracks that are running? You know, people can say, well, Utica doesn't have tradition. But it doesn't. But still, guys will go to Utica on that Sunday. It's always been a traditional ESS show. I obviously have a lot of dogs or a lot of horses in the race, whatever you want to call it, whatever analogy you want to use here. But being the Utica Rome and ESS announcer, but I still don't see how coming in and doing your first big show, if that's what it's going to be, running three nights against all established local tracks that run weekly shows. I mean, where are you going to get the fans from, and where are you going to get the cars from? Because we've already established guys won't leave Malta to run 30 miles away at Glen Ridge for an extra couple hundred
bucks.
That
doesn't mean they won't leave somewhere else.
Yeah, but I just don't
Malta
think
Malta isn't the only track running.
But I still don't think you're going to get cars.
Again, I know I said this to you on the way up here. We talked about it a little bit. I really don't have a whole lot to add, or I've kind of avoided forming an opinion yet, only because I'm still waiting for them to make more announcements. All they've told us is the Memorial Day weekend deal. Mm-hmm. They keep telling us on the Facebook page that there's a schedule is soon to be released. I thought it was going to come out later this week, but I haven't seen anything yet. So whenever they release it, they'll release more information as far as their staff.
What's soon to be released mean?
Their plan, what is their future plans? What is their whole thought process of how they're doing this? What their formats are, you know, with this whole tournament thing they're saying they're going to use. When I have more information in front of me, then I'll try to form an opinion. Right now, I don't have enough to go on. I'm just kind of trying to give them the benefit of the doubt to tell me more, give me more information first. So,
just what I've read, I just don't see how it works.
As far as the tradition thing, I know a lot of people are bringing up the whole tradition. Oh, they're crying about running on. What's to stop any racetrack from racing on Memorial Day?
But my question is,
as far as Memorial Day weekend, and I know you'll probably argue with me with this because you do work at the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
At Utica Rome. The last few years, Utica Rome has their Memorial Day weekend deal going on. But you know what? That's not really their tradition either. They just kind of got left with it because other people stopped using it. If you want to go back to history and tradition, Wheatsport always had a race on Memorial Day weekend.
Right, but I'm saying
you guys ended up doing it because everybody else stopped.
Right, so why? But my question is why?
How'd that interview go over there, John?
What?
Did you have your interview yet to work the pit gate rolling with?
No, I don't even know these people.
But my question is, but why? Okay, you know, I've heard the argument too that, well, Rolling Wheels was a weekly track back in 1967, so we had the tradition first. You haven't run a weekly show at Rolling Wheels in 30 years.
Many years.
So no,
since the '70s or whatever. Right,
so Alan Johnson started to destroy.
Right, but so now we're gonna start. We're gonna take this weekend, and you're gonna run against. Okay, let's just talk Central New York. All right, you're gonna run against Brewerton on Friday night, Fulton Canandaigua on Saturday night, Utica Roma on Sunday. And, okay, you're expecting to draw.
But again, you're assuming they're running against these people because they haven't.
How can they not?
But here's the thing. They keep telling us, if you read their comments on the Facebook page, when people say, how are you going to run against other tracks? They keep saying, slow down. Let us break out the schedule. And you'll understand it then.
Hey,
you'll see that we're not running against
them. You know
what? Because maybe they're running during the day. I don't know what their plans are.
Still,
that's why I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not doing
release
it.
Release a schedule first.
Not going
to
do it.
Because you might find out that maybe they aren't conflicting.
There's no possible way not to conflict.
Now, obviously, there's travel there in between.
There's no way not to conflict.
If you run a day show, it gives them time to get to the night, but you got to give them ample time depending on how
far they're coming. So you got to start at 10 in the morning, and then.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt before I jumped on anybody's
throat. You know what, John?
I tried that one time, and I got beat up a lot.
You know what? I've said it from the beginning, and I'll say it again, and maybe I'm just being a homer. I don't know. But if it seems too good to be true, it probably is.
I totally agree. And I said that the first time we went
through
this.
Yeah, exactly.
But this time, it's actually sold, so that's why I'm giving. The first
run down
time
that
I,
list.
The
run
first
down
time
that list again
all,
that you were talking about that they were drawing against, Mike. You're looking at.
He's running all
tracks.
Your weekly tracks.
I want him to do the list one more time.
Well,
I want to hear the list.
Well,
that
you know
Mike picked out.
This is just Central.
I'm not coming down on you. I just want you to do the list again because
right,
I think
talk.
I missed some.
All right, so Brewerton Friday night. That's just. I mean, if we want to get crazy,
yeah.
Brewerton,
if we're just talking about Central New York,
right? That's Central New York. Fulton, Canandaigua.
Yeah.
I guess you can count Thunder Mountain if you want, because that's still an hour from Central New York.
Yeah.
All right, then Sunday, of course, Utica Rome. Monday would be Utica Rome, and I don't know anyone else that runs on Mondays. But that's just that. Now, if you factor in...
And we don't have the Reed Sport schedule, right?
Right, and let's factor in...
They're going to have... what did Shannon tell us at Super Dirt Week? How many races next year? She told us how many races, and I can't remember. 8 to 10, I think it was.
But it's not a crazy full schedule.
They're not going to run weekly.
So, in theory, with everything that Mike mentioned, regardless of when they're putting their shows on, we're not talking just Memorial Day, we're talking whenever they put their shows on, you're already automatically fighting against the car population that's already spread out over 6-8 tracks.
If this has the potential,
you know?
I mean, I understand the drivers deserve to be paid, and I have nothing wrong with that, but if this deal goes through, it has the potential to blow everything else up in racing. I mean, because if you look... And let's just talk 360 traveling sprint car organizations. You have the Patriots, you have ESS. They both have relatively solid counts, whatever. ESS averages 20 to 30 every race. The Patriots are, you know, around 20, 24. Some of that. I'm not taking anything away from them, but that's on average what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So now, both of those traveling series have 3 race weekends those weekends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ESS goes to Albany, Fonda, Utica.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots go out in Western New York, and they have their 3-day deal.
Right.
All right, so now we're going to throw a race in Central New York that's going to pay $13,000. What's that going to do to those sanctioning bodies now that have traditional weekends mm-hmm. that run shows that they're 2,000-win shows? What's that going to do? That's not – I understand, again, it's great for the money, but what's it do to the traveling organizations that have established where they've been?
Well, the problem is that it gives the drivers they have to make a choice.
Right.
Do I run for the championship or do I go race for this one race?
Right. But it's not one day though. It's now we're talking a whole weekend.
What's
right.
the difference
of multiple
between
qualifying?
But again, we don't know what's running what days either.
No, that's fine. But still, it's still they no matter
this,
what.
They're saying
how's
it's
this
a 4-day
different?
Weekend.
And I'm not coming down on Brett, but how's this any different than the Short Track Super Nationals program?
This is different because the Short Track Super Nationals is Saturday night of Dirt Week. It's not taking away from anything at the mile. I said this to John on the way here. If Brett was running Sunday afternoon against the mile head-to-head, I would have an issue with that because that is a traditional race. That's a race at Syracuse. That's been the date for 43 years.
All right.
Okay. And somebody
Dutch
runs
Hogue weekend versus Eastern States.
I still think you don't run on weekends that are traditional. I don't think you run against Eastern States 200. That's been 53 years.
And again, we debated this on the way up here, and I said to him, well, people have done it, though.
I know, I get it, I don't agree with it.
Other tracks have run against Eastern States
it's
weekend
one
over
thing,
the years, many times.
We don't know what the conversation is. It could be a Thursday night for all we know. Mm-hmm. We don't know that.
All we know is that they told us it's a 4-day weekend.
No, they gave you the dates, May 21st to the 24th.
That's 4 days.
That's the dates.
21, 22,
23, 24. Yes.
That's
so that
four-day weekend. That's all we know. We don't know. You don't know what's running, what days.
That's Thursday, that's Friday, assuming, Saturday, Sunday.
You're just assuming modifieds and sprint cars are running all 4 days. You don't know that.
But even if you run them, you're still conflicting with someone.
Well, you're going to have to.
You have
if you're
going to
have a racetrack, you're going to conflict with somebody unless you run every Monday.
You can't.
You run Monday nights. It's the only way you won't conflict. You know?
But again, I'm just saying.
Okay. Observation Memorial Day, you're still going to conflict with somebody.
What does this do? Here's my thing. What does this do to the weekly track? This destroys the weekly track concept.
Well, we're.
I'm not saying
we're thinking that. We don't know yet. It's not happened. Until it happens and we see the
and
result,
in terms
you
of
don't
that
know.
Whole, in terms of that whole, you know, what does this do to the sanctioning bodies? It might not do anything.
Maybe it makes everybody else step up their game.
It might not affect the sanctioning bodies
How
at all because you don't know.
What's that old adage? Competition isn't always a bad thing.
I'm not.
You got to try.
I have no problem with competition.
I mean, those guys have to try something because they're coming out. They're coming out of the blocks new and fresh, and they have to do something to get attention. Yeah. They have to do something in
There's
order to get people
comes
that want
to
go
to do something really, really big too.
You have to
stir the pot,
and you know what? It might not be the traveling organizations that have this blow up in their face. It might be the track itself,
and it might fail majorly.
That's what I mean.
It might be a huge home run. You don't know.
If you
can afford to do it, why the hell?
But I'm not buying it. I just think it. I mean, after all I've heard about what they've done in the past, and all I know.
Well, that's the big problem.
I just
have no credibility.
Zero credibility.
I'm telling you right now, if Brett Deo does this exact same thing, everybody takes it seriously.
Right. This right now.
And nobody's bashing
nobody
him because he has all
right.
the credibility.
I'm not, again, more power to him if they can pull it off. But on paper, when you've already proven to me that you can't follow through.
Yeah, I know.
And that we know what happened last year with the dirt car deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been well discussed.
Well, this last spring.
Last spring. Right. Exactly. Okay, we know.
You're
not
talking about the schedule cards.
People keep forgetting it's still this year.
Yeah, right. But when you
schedule cards at the dirt.
Yeah, right. When you prove to be full of crap and you're passing out schedule cards, look at my nice new shirts.
Yep.
Okay, and yet what happens? You can't get the deal done. You magically can't sign the papers. Now all of a sudden the money all appears and you find it. And now you're telling me that you have all these entries coming in and all this already. Where's the entry form? Where's that? Where is it? We're just all signing
tickets
up.
Tickets go on sale November 10th, by
the way. We're all signing up on PM on Facebook. Give me a break.
Yeah, that kind of
stuff.
It's
such a load of crap.
And I tell you what, in my travels on both sides of this equation, with sprint cars, with modifieds, with late models down south, you can expect a 30% drop-off of every verbal commitment you have. There are people that are willing to pay the entry money just to mess with you. And those cars aren't going to show up. And they know that they're going to
show
up.
We had it at Utica for the Cole Cup. We had two or three cars pre-enter,
yeah.
Pay $100, and not show up.
There was two or three guys listed on the Short Track Nationals, which, of course, just happened this past weekend.
Knoxville's the same way.
The four-day event
yep.
Out in Little Rock, Arkansas, which Jason Barney was out there. But you looked at the pre-entry list, and there were two or three guys that were on the pre-entry list. So, obviously, they paid to enter the race. That never came out and turned a lap any one of the 4 days.
Right.
I mean, if you sent your entry in 3 months ago, things change. Maybe you destroyed a car. Maybe you hurt an engine.
Right.
Who knows
right.
why you couldn't make it, you know?
I mean, listen, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I just...
Are you?
But for me, again, here's my ultimate thing, though.
Well, the problem is because there's no credibility. In
I've been around
the
racing long enough.
Them,
I've been around the sport
so
long enough.
There's so many skeptics. I'm only giving them the benefit of the doubt this time because the place really is sold.
This is one of the first times I've seen John go out of his way to really advocate
the fact that
he isn't making a snap decision.
Yeah, the last time I jumped right down their throat immediately because the place wasn't sold. This time it really is, so I got to give them the benefit of the doubt to tell me what their plan is. Once I find out what the plan is, then I'll form an opinion.
Okay, my question is, we know everything that happened the first time.
Yeah, and it wasn't good.
So why, how was all of a sudden now we've found money that we couldn't somehow come up with before when we supposedly bought the track
and
passed out schedule cards.
Okay,
and now you're looking at an event.
I wondered where they were getting the money from before.
Like, now I did a safe guesstimate, okay, of $30,000 to $40,000. Dollars in purse money for each purse.
I saw your post under Jerry.
Yeah, okay, then you add that up. You're looking at $132,000 just in purse money. Where's that coming from?
Yeah, because every car gets at least goes home with, if you don't qualify,
right.
You go home with
everybody there. Goes
right, and they're saying 210
cars. 212
cars
or whatever.
210
cars.
For three division. You're not going to get that. No way. Because
four, is it, it's four divisions, right? There's a three.
Modified, sprint cars, and sportsman, right?
Sportsman, okay.
Right, but where's where are you getting 210 cars from? Utica Rome did a $1,000 to start race. Okay, we started 24 cars or 28 cars, whatever it was. We did a B main that paid $200, and what were we getting at max? 50 to 60 cars.
Well, you gotta average 70 cars for each division. Class. I know that.
There's no way. There's just
well,
there's no. You're not gonna get 70 sprint cars that weekend. If
it's
if
possible
fact,
to get that many cars, but is it likely? No,
no,
it's
not
possible. It's
but
not
how
likely.
Many events? Okay, let's look at all the events we see right now. How many events are getting 70 cars?
For a division.
There aren't. There
Dale
aren't,
Show, maybe one of them
many.
Got 70 this year. One
yeah,
of them.
The Thunder Mountain got 70. Thunder Mountain Show got 70.
He's been close.
Eastern States, the big block and small block classes both had that.
Right.
Over
but,
that.
But again, look at.
But.
We're talking three races.
That's two races out of.
Three races,
three races
out of.
Right. Saturday and
hundreds
Sunday in Eastern
out
States.
Out of hundreds.
Yeah.
Okay. Grandview pays 25 grand.
Yeah.
They don't get 70 cars.
The Sixter, Fulton,
I don't
the
think
ones
Fulton.
That would rival that.
They get 60 car, 50
yeah.
cars.
This year was probably the lowest they've had in
25
years.
Utica Rome pays 10,000 to win 100 laps, and they get 40 cars. I mean, where are the cars coming from? Especially considering you're running against weekly. This is where my argument for the weekly stuff is. If you want to add another big weekend at the end of the year and find a weekend that's open, go for it. But I just don't
or
think.
Or run a big weekday show.
Right. Run a whole week. Do a speed week at Rolling
but
Wheels.
People
great.
Are committed to. Tracks for points and whatever their reasoning is. It's just
whether it's right
track.
Or wrong, they're not going to do it.
Even if they're not in a point deal, that's my home track. I go here every Saturday. This is where I'm going.
I think it's a dangerous assumption. I think it's a dangerous assumption that people from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, cars that run those tracks are going to make the trip up.
They're not
to
coming.
Wheels. Those guys aren't coming.
They're not coming.
I don't.
Period.
I don't believe
they're
not
coming.
No.
Dwayne
I
Howard is not
no.
leaving Grandview
the
on a Saturday night.
Car's not going to leave Grandview on a Saturday.
Not happening.
No.
Where they're. Damn near guaranteed to get $27.50 to come there and
yeah,
risk.
You're not gonna. I don't see.
I just
that.
Don't see it.
No. I don't see that. Being
and
a
I don't
gamble.
See the short track guys that run Thunder Mountain and one night a week at Brewerton or one night a week at 5 Mile and Aqua. Those guys are not coming to Rolling Wheels.
Yep.
That's why do Brett shows on the little tracks get more cars than the big tracks? Because ultimately those guys are competitive on the, big,
you,
the little tracks.
I'll tell you what this does benefit though, and I'm going to play the devil's advocate here for a minute, where this does benefit. Is the littler guy. Because we're all right off the bat assuming and talking, oh, well, the Shepherds and the Freezes and the Hearns, they can't leave their weekly tracks, blah, blah. But what's to stop, you know, somebody like a Bobby Henry or a maybe even an Alan Johnson, somebody, a Steve Pink, somebody that can go race there for the bigger dollars because they're not going to risk giving up anything major somewhere else.
Steve
you know
Payne's
what I mean?
Not
the littler
okay,
guy, and I'm not saying but Steve Payne
Justin
will, but
Harris.
I'm just throwing other guys. Harris can't because of the Super
yeah.
Dirt Series
serious
deal.
Points.
But you know somebody like a Bobby Henry.
Okay, so are there 70 of those guys though that are going to do
maybe,
it?
Maybe Jake Spraker and Bobby Vaire. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. But where's the money? Like,
who isn't
here's the...
following any kind of a series? So what about the points at home for one night? Big deal. There's 15 grand on the line here.
How much is
or
the entry fee?
That's nowhere either, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think there is
no
one.
Information
I don't
on
know.
The entry
fee. There's no entry
again,
fee.
They haven't said.
Oh, wait,
so.
It's on the entry form.
So
yeah. I got to copy that
again,
right here.
There's
yeah.
so much more information that has to be released because they are still arguing the point where they're not conflicting. This has been their whole argument all along on Facebook with their comments. They're not conflicting with anybody. They say they're not running against anybody. That's why I'm trying to wait to see what happens.
How can you not?
I'm just telling you what
they're
saying.
What are you running at 9 in the morning?
You said you read all those comments. You had
to
see it.
I did, and I still believe it's a load of crap. I just got a call from a private number. It's probably them calling me. I just, you know, listen, I don't.
Man, I almost wish you answered that phone call.
I don't want to see. Like, I don't mind people. I want drivers to get paid what they deserve. But I just don't want this to be a load of crap.
Smoke
and
mirrors show.
And ruin everything for everybody. Because it's going to blow everything up. If they don't come through, it's going to blow
up.
Then
they're going to look like a bunch of buffoons.
But again,
let's just see
what
happens first. Let's see what their plan is.
If it's legitimate and it helps the sport, fine.
By the way, one thing that you didn't factor in when you were talking about who you were going to run against and everything, that synthetic clay track in Brewerton.
Well, that's not open yet.
They've broken ground on. That's coming.
Yeah, I've heard that's coming for the last 4 years.
Here's the thing, though. Glenn Donnelly has far more credibility than these guys.
That's what I'm saying.
At the end of the day, I would believe Glenn Donnelly before I believe these guys.
At least
they have a turnkey racetrack.
John, but what Mike said is not a stretch. That's not a stretch. If you're in a situation where you know for sure that you are going to leave your home track for a program, are you going to go with Glenn Donnelly's on Memorial Day weekend, or are you going to go to Rolling Wheels?
Glenn Donnelly's got to have a racetrack first.
Well, and the other thing is,
don't even throw him in the argument.
And here's the other thing.
It's one piece of property.
Woo. Somebody brought up an argument today. Like,
it's been there for 4 years.
How are you not going to go with the groups that have been proven to support you in the past? Like, and again, I'm a homer because I work at Utica, but Utica is my best example because Utica pays so much money. I mean, you got a couple 10 grand to win shows. You've got your 2,000 win weekly. You've got
But that's the same argument that the Rolling Wheels guys are operating on. They're
not making the same argument because they haven't proven that they can do it. They haven't proven they can even open the damn place. It took them a year to supposedly finally buy the thing.
The check's in the mail,
but I've got T-shirts and I got schedule cards saying we're running Rolling Wheels this year.
Just by reading the comments online, it seems very presumptuous that they think they can dangle a big dollar figure out front and pay really, really deep and that everybody's are just automatically going to flock to the track.
And when you pull out, the check's in the mail. That's all I'm going to say. I mean,
it's a bad day.
I'm not going down that road until I see what their schedule is.
I just
like
don't buy it. I'm just not going to buy it.
I got to see what their...
It doesn't pass the smell test.
What the plan is first.
And listen, I got a lot of things that don't pass the smell test. This does not pass the smell test.
If they hadn't actually bought the track yet, then I'd be right there next to you arguing with you. But they bought the track, so want to see what they're doing with it first.
Yeah, I don't have any information to base anything on other than credibility and the fact that they're new. But
right.
I mean, everybody's been new at some point. Some people have done really well with it, and some people haven't.
They started by buying the track, so I can't imagine they would buy the track without having some sort of money in place.
I just don't buy it.
The track's paid for.
Is it?
That's the theory. How much do we know about that?
That's what they're telling them. I don't know for a fact.
Well, they also said they ran the show at Super Dirt Week, and they're full of crap.
I just know that their statement on Facebook is that the track's paid for. They own it. It's free and clear.
That's their statement.
Right. That's what I just said. That's what they're saying. That's the only thing I got to go on.
You know, I've heard a lot of...
Is that the track is paid for.
Again, it's just...
So if that's really that statement is true, then there's money there. So why can't they do this?
Oh, boy.
If they've got the money, then do it.
I got two voicemails, so a private number left the voicemail.
It's Orange County calling. They probably want to talk to me.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
No, again, listen, if they do it, more power to them, but I'm not going to believe it until I see it. I've seen too many of these deals in racing, and I've seen too much.
Yeah, that's what I said about Donnelly's deal. I've been around.
Listen, I'm in the same way. Like, when he builds it, I'll believe it.
When he builds it, they will come.
Right, but I just can't buy something that it doesn't pass the smell test. And again, we've all seen this smoke and mirrors game before.
Of course.
Again, and if it's successful, great. And I hope it works. And
I hope it
makes racing better. I really do. But
they've got a lot of obstacles to overcome.
Right.
You think they're going to pull a move where they say, well, we're projecting 210 cars.
Where is that coming from?
Can I finish my thought?
I didn't say anything.
But if they're projecting 210 cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, day of the race comes. Well, we didn't meet our projection, so the purse is actually going to be this. We're going to cut the purse once the cars get there.
USNA did that with their purse at the end of the year for the point fund.
Yeah,
because they didn't complete the season. They prorated it.
Somebody just Speed Palace in the forum or in the chat room said, "I believe in Santa Claus too." But hey, again, if they can do it, more power to them.
Yeah, he was walking down Main Street with the Easter Bunny today.
Listen, if they pull it off and they do the same thing,
and the dancing guy from Little Caesars.
Yeah. I mean, if they pull it off and they do what they say they're going to do, I will be the first one to say they did it. And if they do it without conflicting with anyone and do it the right way, then fine.
Well, let's open the floor right now. I mean, seriously, let's open the floor right now. Let's try and get them on the show. Why not?
I would love that.
Why not?
Whoever they are, we don't know. We don't have any names.
I would like Racer X to come on and be a guest on 31st Lap. Why not?
Because they're supposed to update the Rolling Wheels website with their staffing. So we don't even know who they are. other than that Liguzzo guy. We only know his name because of the March deal. And I know the name, the first name is Corey of the person that's posting on the Facebook page, that's representing the Facebook page, because they put their name as Corey on there.
Well,
they said their first name was Corey, but we don't know Corey.
I'm on the Rolling Corey, Rose website. If you need to contact someone, please contact Jeff Hockman at dirtcar.com.
Yeah, and this looks like a press release from, this is definitely a press release from World of Outlaws.
Yeah, that's super on the front page. So we'll see.
How old is this
press
release?
But the only two pages is Home and Super Dirt Week. There's no other pages on the website right now.
Well, schedule works.
There they are. Okay. I got them.
There you go.
Up now.
Your computer's a little slow. So.
Yeah. Oh, you're on the actual website.
Yeah. Contact us. What'd you say it was? One Speedway Drive and Weed Sport.
Yeah.
Physical address.
Yeah.
I
was on the website a couple of days ago and it hadn't changed at all. Supposedly they're working
tickets,
on the website.
If you click on tickets, it goes directly to World Racing Group.
Yeah, tickets for the May weekend that they're advertising or talking about on Facebook, tickets go on sale November 10th. Nobody knows how much they are, though.
I don't know. Well, that'll be a secret. You got to Facebook
like,
them to get
that's
that,
That's like
too.
11 days away, and nobody knows how to get them or how much they're going to be.
I think it's interesting that the frequently asked questions, there's nothing in here say,
Who's the owner of the racetrack?
Who owns this place? That's not in here. That's not a trust.
Yeah, nothing's been updated. So, all right.
Yeah, so supposedly they're working on it, but that they've been saying that all week. So, I mean, that they've been saying that since like Sunday or Monday.
I'm just tired of. We're going to tell you tomorrow. We're going to tell you tomorrow. We're going to tell you tomorrow. Yeah. No, you're not. You haven't told me anything.
Well, they just called you.
The only thing they've told us
is
about the
tomorrow memo. Came.
That would be funny if that is. That would be awesome.
All they've told us is about the Memorial Day weekend event, but we still don't know what that event is, what it entails, what
it's a pay dirt. It's a pay dirt double elimination
tournament.
Something.
It's a tournament.
I saw that.
It's a tournament.
It's going
to
be.
They
like,
explained it to Jamie Weeknecht on the Facebook page. Did you read that?
Yeah. So you got to run 7 heats.
People, you guys break my balls all year about passing points. Passing points and trying to understand them and figure them out.
Try figuring this out.
Is half as easy as trying to understand that. Because people have bitched about Dale's passing point system because they don't understand
I'm not bitching about
they
it.
They will never figure
I just hate
if they can't
tweeting.
Figure out what Dale's doing, they are not going to figure that out.
That is
at
complicated.
All.
That is
no
complicated.
Way.
It is. But again.
I got halfway through that paragraph of what they wrote to Jamie and I had to stop reading because I was so freaking lost.
All right. I think we've killed this. Yeah,
is everybody is everybody content?
I'm done.
He's turned to glue.
Yeah.
Has everybody felt that their opinions were exhausted as well in the last?
I've had enough. Yeah, we're good.
Everybody.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting to form one.
I've formed it, and I will stand by it. And if I'm wrong, I will. So be it.
If
they have a race, who's going? I won't be because I will be at my regular.
We shall see. I hope they give us more information soon because tickets go on sale in 11 days. I'm not buying a ticket to something I don't know about.
What does the ticket look like?
That's a good question.
It's an e-ticket. It's attached to the bottom of the entry
form. What I want to know is what I really want to know is the ticket refundable?
Non-refundable.
Is the ticket?
It better be refundable.
Can I refund this ticket?
Hey, listen. You can take back anything you want to a store that's out of business.
Is this ticket refundable?
What ticket?
What ticket?
What ticket? You didn't buy a ticket. I have no record of you buying a ticket.
Who are you? What are you even talking about?
You get
about?
It in the mail and it's made with crayon.
This is good for one seat at Rolling Wheels on Memorial Day weekend. Now we're just being asses, but it's funny.
There's dotted lines where they cut it with scissors, cut it out
uneven,
with paper.
Uneven.
Yeah, filled it in with crayon. Wrote the road seat with a marker.
No, we're bad. All right, I think that's it. We're done here.
Presented by Crayola.
That's their backer. That's who it is.
Oh, call it a night here. My God. All done.
Shit, do you want to talk about the short track nationals just for a couple minutes?
No,
Barney
I'm
was
done.
Out there?
I'm done.
You don't?
We're at an hour and a half.
Do you want to talk about it for a minute?
Well, I think we should at least mention it.
How did Jason Barney do?
Unfortunately, Jason did not make the A main.
All right.
He finished.
Guys, that's going to do it for this week.
He finished, what, fifth and the third
yeah,
B, I believe.
Something like that, yeah. He was in the mix.
He made it to the B, and they took the top two out of the Bs, and he finished fifth in the
He was
third,
in the mix.
B number three. Well, I'm glad he went out there. I'm glad he went out there again for the second year in a row.
Christopher Bell kicked butt.
Yeah, Christopher Bell won the prelim show on Friday night. The Wednesday show was won by Aaron Reitzel. Thursday was won by Brian Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Passed Reitzel on the top side, coming to the checker. He beat him by a nose, mm-hmm. like a foot, hit the line. And then Friday prelim show was Christopher Bell, and then he won the finale on Saturday night. 40-lap feature, $15,000.
Not bad.
One of the biggest 360 races in the country. Kid's had a nice year. He's won like 24 races this year. He's had a nice season.
Maybe you'll have a chance to talk to him again when he comes to that show Memorial Day weekend in Rolling Wheels.
Again? We haven't talked to him yet. I'd like to get that kid on the show sometime, though.
I thought you'd met him before.
Nope. I've never talked to
mistake.
Christopher.
I'm checking my voicemail.
Just for the heck of it? All right. Well, you check your voicemail, Mike. That's going to do it for us.
I got to see
you
called.
Do you want to do it on the show? You want to leave it up for the moment?
What?
Is it a dirty message?
No, shut up. You're a dummy.
It's not Mistress Drake, is it?
It doesn't.
No, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out who it is because it's a private number.
Mistress Drake.
How about we?
What's going on there?
How about we fill
everybody? Is that her Halloween name?
Let's not worry about it.
We'll fill everybody.
Oh, good grief.
Was it it or no?
That's interesting. I got a phone call from a school trying to reach a kid's parent. I obviously
didn't it happen to you before?
Yeah, I'm obviously not anyone's parent. Thankfully. Yeah.
Yeah. Except the cat, and then you lose him.
No.
Oh, come on. That was a low blow.
She's back. She's good now.
You're old enough to know better.
I said it because the cat wasn't dead.
You're old enough to know better.
It never even left the house.
You were 15 years old when Alan Johnson started that streak.
Man, he gets older and older. So, it wasn't a harassing phone call. Darn.
Bummer.
I would have said we got contact info.
Oh, good grief.
Oh, well. Anyways.
All right. Charlotte this weekend. We will not see you guys next Thursday.
No. Well, we'll.
You'll be here for what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, we'll be here for something short. I mean, everybody's going to be paying
attention. You ought to get your you ought to get your partner in crime there to come in with you.
Which Mitch one? Post,
Mitch,
Rich,
no,
Rich, not Mitch.
I don't think Rich is coming out.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I'm just going out on a limb.
You're probably the safe road.
I think that assumption is a safe one.
Yep.
136 in the books. That'll do it. We're going to be here with something next week. I don't know what. I don't know if we're going to get the Rolling Wheels folks next week or not.
Have a good show.
I'd like to wait until everybody can be here.
I would like to be here for that, too. It's going to be a couple weeks anyway.
Yeah, so it'll be a couple.
Because you said the 13th, there's no show. Yeah,
don't worry. We'll be back in time, and tickets will be on sale.
We're
maybe for the 20th.
Well, so you guys have fun in Charlotte. You guys have fun in Charlotte, and then the week after that, we are off. The 13th of November. The 13th of November, we're off.
So we'll be here the 20th and then off the following Thursday for Thanksgiving, right?
Probably so.
No, Thanksgiving's the following week.
So stay tuned. We'll get you the schedule. We'll keep everybody in the loop. But next week, anyway, you guys have fun in Charlotte.
Yes.
And that's, I think that's going to do for us.
That's a wrap.
See you later, guys. Thanks a lot.